house fire. This happened Sunday night on Shadowwood Place. Fire crews say there were no working smoke alarms in the house. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Tuskegee police have opened a homicide investigation after a deadly shooting Sunday night. Police say two men were shot in the 900 block of Della Sullen Street. Both victims were taken to the hospital, where one of them later died. The other has life-threatening injuries. Police have not made any arrests. And Montgomery Fire Rescue responded to a hazmat situation at the Kinpak facility on Gunner Park Drive yesterday. 11 people were treated on scene. Three of them went to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
We wish you a Merry Christmas from your friends at Boot Barn. And we wish you some Wrangler jeans under your tree. We have great gifts for all on your list, like Wrangler blue jeans, all at Boot Barn. Yes, Wrangler blue jeans, stop by Boot Barn.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents and Doug.
Limu, when we're not telling people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need, I've actually been moonlighting as a DJ.
What?
Check it! Here's the good part!
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Come on, boy, finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The House Judiciary Committee heard from lawyers making a case for impeachment against President Trump. It got testy.
The evidence shows that Donald J. Trump has put himself before his country.
You're going to try to overturn the result of an election with unelected people giving...
Gentlemen will suspend.
The Supreme Court has left in place a Kentucky law that mandates doctors perform ultrasounds and show fetal images to patients before performing abortions.
Grim fears over the fates of tourists, including Americans, after the volcanic island they were visiting in New Zealand exploded.
One of the founders of the Ice Bucket Challenge has died of ALS. Peter Frades was 34.
The Justice Department Inspector General finds the Russia probe into the Trump campaign was started for legitimate reasons, although mistakes were made.
Wentz to the end zone.
Modern-day Little Red Hen may not appear to be a quotable authority on economics, but then some authorities on economics aren't worth quoting. About a year ago, I imposed a little poetry on you. It was called The Incredible Bread Machine and made a lot of sense with reference to matters economic. You didn't object too much, so having gotten away with it once, I'm going to try again. This is a little treatise on basic economics called The Modern Little Red Hen. Once upon a time, there was a little red hen who scratched about the barnyard until she uncovered some grains of wheat. She called her neighbors and said, "If we plant this wheat, we shall have bread to eat. Who will help me plant it?" "Not I," said the cow. "Not I," said the duck. "Not I," said the pig. "Not I," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen, and she did. The wheat grew tall and ripened into golden grain. "Who will help me reap my wheat?" asked the little red hen. "Not I," said the duck. "Out of my classification," said the pig. "I'd lose my seniority," said the cow. "I'd lose my unemployment compensation," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen, and she did. At last it came time to bake the bread. Who will help me bake bread? Asked the little red hen. Oh, that'd be overtime for me, said the cow. I'd lose my welfare benefits, said the duck. I'm a dropout and never learned how, said the pig. Well, if I'm to be the only helper, that's discrimination, said the goose. Then I will, said the little red hen. She baked 5 loaves and held them up for her neighbors to see. They all wanted some, and in fact demanded a share. But the little red hen said, no, I can eat the 5 loaves myself. Excess profits, cried the cow. Capitalist leech, screamed the duck. I demand equal rights, yelled the goose. And the pig just grunted. And they painted unfair picket signs and marched round and round the little red hen, shouting obscenities. When the government agent came, he said to the little red hen, you must not be greedy. But I earned the bread, said the little red hen. Exactly, said the agent. That's the wonderful free enterprise system. Anyone in the barnyard can earn as much as he wants. But under our modern government regulations, the productive workers must divide their product with the idle. And they lived happily ever after, including the little red hen, who smiled and clucked, I am grateful, I am grateful. But her neighbors wondered why she never again baked any more bread. I guess a lot of us have been wondering something like that. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday. It was 71 degrees when I had breakfast this morning with some friends. Mm-hmm. It is 59 degrees now. Stock market, by the way, we got some things, really big things kind of going on here, of course. Stock market is down 3 points. Let me bring in the congressman for North Alabama, good friend of the show, Mo Brooks. Congressman, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Well, thank you, Dan. Good to speak with you again.
Let's start with the big Megillah here, impeachment. Were you surprised that they only had 2 articles, and do you think they have the votes? Where do you think the votes will happen? And do you think they will have any defectors?
I was astonished. It's almost like a bad joke. The Constitution requires one of 4 things. Treason, bribery, high crimes, or misdemeanors. The Democrat Articles of Impeachment do not allege a specific violation of any federal criminal statute relating to any of those 4 things. That is remarkable, and it shows how brazen the Democrats have been in pursuing impeachment against Donald Trump. You know, at least when they were arguing bribery, okay, that fit the constitutional definition. When they argued some other things, that fit the constitutional definition. Now they're claiming we're going to impeach him, even though there's no treason, bribery, high crimes, or misdemeanors. Really? Obstruction of Congress? When did that become an impeachable offense? Barack Obama's team did it on a regular basis when we were in charge of the House, to the point where we held Obama's attorney general in contempt of Congress. The IRS under Obama, same kind of thing, obstructed Congress as we were trying to get the information, the true scoop, on the IRS being used to suppress and attack conservatives around the country. Fast and furious investigation. The list goes on and on. If that's the standard, where the executive branch does not fully cooperate with every request for information from Congress, then you can impeach a whole lot of presidents over the past few decades. But that's not the standard in the United States Constitution. And further, just for emphasis, this obstruction of Congress, Congress has a remedy. You go to a court and you ask a judge to enforce a subpoena. There are no court orders telling the executive branch your witnesses have to go or these documents have to be produced that the White House violated. So this obstruction of justice or obstruction of Congress one is just absurd. Then you go to the abuse of authority abuse of power argument that the Democrats want to raise. Well, that would get Obama, too. Remember when he was giving work permits to illegal aliens in direct contravention of federal law?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We would argue on the Republican side that that is an abuse of power. But it's not a criminal offense. It does not rise to the level that is stated in the United States Constitution. The people who wrote that document did not want presidents removed willy-nilly for no substantive reason. There had to be something big, something serious. And if these truly are the articles of impeachment that the Democrats are going to go with, and to some degree I think it's kind of a deceptive tactic where they're going to switch to something more substantive, but if this is all they've got, boy, have we wasted a whole lot of time.
Do you think they have the votes in the House?
Yes. Otherwise, Nancy Pelosi would not have led with her chin last week when she announced they were going to pursue impeachment.
When do you think the vote will happen?
We're being told it's going to happen this coming week. That will probably come out of Judiciary Committee Thursday of this week, and sometime Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, we'll vote on impeachment.
Do you think there'll be very many defectors?
There could be as many as a dozen Democrats.
Wow.
More likely it will be 1 to 5, somewhere in that ballpark. But there were a dozen Democrats who met with the Speaker and each other, and they're trying to convince the Speaker not to go with articles of impeachment, rather to go with some kind of censure or contempt or something less than impeachment. Of course, they're being outvoted inside the Democratic Conference, so they're, while they claim to be conservatives or moderates, they have no voice within the Democratic Conference as it exists today.
You're someone I have a great deal of respect for with your political touch of things. Do you think the Dems will lose the House because of this?
I don't know. There's so much that could occur over the next 11 months. Will this be remembered? That's one of the questions. I'll give you an example. You may recall that there was a government shutdown not long after the Republicans took over the House. We were battling on spending issues, and the polling data was pretty bad, and the Democrats were bragging about how they were going to take back the House in 2012 or 2014, whichever was the immediately subsequent election. And by the time we got around to Election Day, voters did not have that as an issue on their radar screens. So if the election were today or January or February, yeah, I think it'd have a big impact on the elections, and I think it would significantly increase our chances of winning the House. But voters typically have short memories in these types of matters, and if some other big issue pops up in September or October next year, that probably will predominate in the November election.
On the phone with us, Mo Brooks, Congressman for North Alabama. What are your constituents saying about impeachment?
Well, I had, say, a Christmas breakfast with some church folks this past Saturday. And I asked them, about 5 or 6 of them, I said, "Tell me, what do you think I ought to do on impeachment?" And one of them says, "Mo, I love you, but if you vote to impeach the president, I'll never vote for you again."
That says it all right there.
So I said, "Well, I was just seeking your opinion, not your advice, because I am voting against impeachment."
I like that. Well, I think Doug Jones is on the hot seat without a doubt.
Yeah, he's in a difficult position. He can alienate his base vote, which he needs for money and for volunteers, and for that matter, to turn out on Election Day. Or he can alienate everybody else in Alabama.
What did you think of the IG report, and do you think the FISA needs to be retooled?
Oh, my goodness. That's such a big can of worms. It's quite clear that those people in the Justice Department and or FBI botched it. And it's kind of an interesting defense that they're arguing. Their defense is akin to there being Keystone Cops, that they were just incompetent, that they were bunglers, rather than them being biased, politically biased. Personally, I think it was both. I think they were bunglers and they were politically biased, and that's what resulted in us taxpayers spending tens of millions of dollars on a Russian collusion investigation when, in fact, there was zero credible evidence that the Trump campaign had ever colluded with the Russians. I think it's also noteworthy that there is a United States attorney that is investigating the same matter, and then you've got William Barr, who is the Attorney General of the United States, and both of them have publicly repudiated the truthfulness of the IG report. And that's unusual, where you have the Attorney General and a U.S. attorney who's investigating this matter publicly coming out and rebuking the Attorney General's report for being wrong.
You just hit my next question. What do you think the U.S. Attorney Durham, what do you think will come out of his investigation?
I'm not privy to the evidence as he has at hand, but I have to think that when he is publicly reputing the "there was no bias, it was just bungling" argument that the Inspector General advanced, when he's publicly reputing that, he must believe he's got evidence that shows criminal intent on the part of one or more federal employees, probably in the FBI, but perhaps also elsewhere.
I saw that Nancy Pelosi had a press conference talking about USMCA. Do you like the changes that they're recommending to the piece of legislation? What will be the impact on your district and the district in Alabama, and Alabama at home?
I have reservations about the United States-Mexican-Canadian trade agreement. Let me explain why. Every time there has been a trade agreement since about 1980, there's been this great fanfare about how it's going to improve trade between the United States and those countries. 100% of the time, our trade deficits with those countries has gotten worse, not better. And so from a historical standpoint, I always have to be mindful of how this is a rerun, or could be a rerun, that we have seen this song and dance before, that there has been a lot of trade negotiations and agreements in the past, that they were presented with great fanfare, that they were supposed to be the cure to all that ails us, and then they didn't come across as promised. So I don't know how the United States-Mexican Canadian trade agreement will do. And then second, there is one provision in it that I hope will be taken out. I've asked the Trump administration to take out. Other congressmen have asked that it be taken out. And it appears that the high-tech company lobbyists have done a superb job, Facebook, Twitter, those entities, have done a superb job of putting into the trade agreement language that bars the United States Congress from preventing these high-tech companies from using their platforms to censor Americans, to stop free speech. And it also prevents Congress from forcing them to not be as politically biased as they've been in the past. And so that's a big deal. I mean, that can control the way our country goes in the future.
Let me go back to what you're just saying. So in the USMCA, is that piece of is that stipulation?
There is a provision in there that the lobbyists for these high-tech companies, social media companies, have been able to put in. And as you know, if it's a treaty amongst various nations, that supersedes whatever laws Congress may pass. That's an international agreement, and under the Constitution, it carries more weight than any legislation that we might pass to stop these social media companies from censoring the voices of American citizens.
If that got taken out, do you think the bill could possibly fail with the Democrats?
It might fail if that is not corrected. I'm struggling with it. I would love to see data that shows that this is going to actually improve our horrible trade deficits with Canada and Mexico. To date, I've not seen that data. So I'm having to, if I vote for it, I'm having to do so because of blind faith trust in the Trump administration and the negotiators, when I already know they've made one big error, and that big error was with respect to the social media companies.
I thought you were going to say it was because Rich Trumka had given his endorsement of it that you went for it.
Well, that's what I mean when I talk about the Trump administration, reliance on their assertions. Now, I suspect that President Trump has been briefed and his comments are based on the briefing as opposed to his actually having read the agreement.
Right.
You know, he just doesn't have time to get into the weeds.
Yeah.
On documents that are this complicated and that lengthy. And
go ahead.
I just don't know how it's going to play out. I really don't. I have reservations, but I might end up voting for it based on trust in the Trump administration.
Do you have time where I can go to a break and come back to you?
Yes.
Absolutely great. Going to be back with Mo Brooks, Congressman North Alabama, right after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Turn on, tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Are you ready for some football? Whether you yell War Eagle or Roll Tide, if you're fourth and goal, then it's time you call in a special team. Alabama Home Mortgage. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, where we make mortgages easy. With a starting lineup like ours, you can rest assured that you are dealing with the MVPs of the mortgage industry here at Alabama Home Mortgage. Do you feel like you're being blocked on every play? Take a time out and make the call that will change it all. Call Alabama Home Mortgage at 567-4223. Or you can visit our website, alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com. And select the Blink link to get started today. Together, we can create the playbook that will lead to your financial victory. Don't let the clock run out. Call me, Kim Williams, today at 567-4223. Or visit our website at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama home mortgage. NMLS 372-374, Equal Housing Lender.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday, that's where we are. 272-9228. Congressman Mo Brooks on the phone with us, going over a lot of information. Congressman, let's talk about the shooting that happened at Naval Air Station Pensacola. How surprised are you that this even happened, and what changes do you think need to be made to protect our troops?
Well, no one should be surprised based on the 1,300-year history of Islam or what happened on 9/11. With so many of the suicide attackers being both Muslim and from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Like it or not, that religion has a 1,300-year history of having some number of adherents who obey those provisions in the Quran that don't look kindly at unbelievers. people who are not Muslim. And so there's always going to be that bad apple in the bunch. That's just the nature of the history of Islam. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of really good people who happen to be Muslims and who ignore the provisions in the Quran that command Muslims to do what they do to non-believers. But you get enough together, there's going to be some number that are going to be willing to do what happened at Pensacola, what happened on 9/11 when the airplanes were flown into the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, and ultimately the fourth one went into the ground only due to some very brave passengers who knew they were going to kill themselves in the process, but at least they were going to save a lot of other American lives, depending on where that plane was going to be flown into.
Are y'all going to get, is the Armed Services Committee going to get a briefing on this, or have y'all already gotten one?
We have not yet had a briefing. I don't know if we're going to have a briefing. I'm not sure that there's much that we can learn from this terrorist attack in Pensacola that we don't already know. If you're paying attention, you know, there's just some small percentage of Muslims who are going to do what this guy did. How you distinguish between the Muslims that are law-abiding and believe in the scripture that says treat others as you would have them do unto you or treat you, I don't know how you're going to distinguish the two, the good apples from the bad apples. That's what makes it so difficult from a policy perspective as we try to address this kind of issue.
Well, Maxwell Air Force Base Air War College has a lot of foreign nationals there, a lot from Saudi Arabia. So does Rucker. What is Huntsville like as far as foreign nationals and particularly Saudis that are in Huntsville Redstone Arsenal?
Well, we have individuals from around the country, around the globe, that come to Redstone Arsenal on a periodic basis. I'm not privy to any breakdown on how many are Muslim or how many come from countries where there are greater risk rather than lesser risk. I'm confident that at Redstone Arsenal, we're going to use good security measures, but good security measures are inadequate to stop someone who is willing to commit suicide to take out unbelievers.
It's quite disturbing, without a doubt. And then you look at the Pearl Harbor situation that happened just last week also that's out there. What pieces of legislation are coming up that we need to be kind of know about or aware of?
Well, the agricultural community is pushing, along with the Democrats and perhaps the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, is pushing legislation tomorrow that would give a whole lot of amnesty to a whole bunch of illegal aliens. And so that's probably going to pass the House of Representatives. Hopefully it will get killed in the Senate, or if it gets through the Senate, hopefully it will be vetoed by President Trump, and we'll be able to hopefully sustain that veto. But that's what we're looking at in the next 24 hours. Sometime this week, we're also looking at, and it may be a vote later today, we're looking at a vote on expanding socialized medicine where the government will get engaged in price controls, which on its surface sounds pretty good because healthcare costs are skyrocketing, particularly the focus of this bill, which is drug costs. But the downside is if you upset the market, you might see that life-saving drugs are no longer invented and produced. And the Congressional Budget Office is advising us that this Democrat scheme, if it passes, will eliminate about 15 new treatment drugs every decade. And I don't know how the Congressional Budget Office came up with their estimate, but that is their estimate, and that's what they're telling members of Congress, that they will have an unintended effect of the Democrats' price control bill, and that will be fewer life-saving drugs produced. And so you've got to weigh the lower cost versus the Americans who will die as a result of that lower cost. So it's, we have a lot of difficult issues like this, challenges that we have to work our way through and we have to vote on.
Did you say the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was supporting the bill, particularly the one about immigration?
Oh, I would suspect so. I don't know that for a fact. But the Chamber of Commerce historically has been extremely supportive of legislation that brings in foreign workers that undercut the wages of American citizens. That has been their number one legislative priority since I've been in the United States Congress.
That is amazing. One, in that cheap labor, but also, as you and I both know from our sons, the foreign nationals from India and Pakistan that are engineers really put a burden on the workforce.
Well, that hurts us up in Americans, up in the Tennessee Valley with Redstone Arsenal, because we have a high number of educated scientists and engineers, white-collar workers, who are seeing their wages undercut mm-hmm. by the importation of educated foreign labor. But this, for emphasis, this has openly been the number one priority of the United States Chamber of Commerce. They apparently don't care that much about Joe and Jane average worker, but they care a lot about their profit margins, and what better way to increase profit margins than hiring cheap foreign labor that reduces their cost of doing business, increasing those margins.
Let me move to NATO and Turkey. How's your feeling about Turkey now? You were a little ambivalent about it last time we talked because of the surface-to-air missile defense that Russia was selling them that they now have taken possession of. What's your feeling about them now?
Turkey is an enigma. Like it or not, the United States of America, with our involvement in the Middle East, we heavily rely on Turkey. We have an Air Force base there that has roughly 5,000 American troops there at any one time that stores nuclear weapons. And it's a jumping-off point for our interest in a wide variety of other countries in that region. So if we start taking aggressive stances that Turkey does not like, they have the ability to retaliate by ordering us to leave that air base. And that, in turn, dramatically inhibits our ability to do the things that we do in a very volatile part of the world. So you got, again, conflicting values that you have to weigh. Certainly, I wish that Turkey had not invaded Syria, had not done what they did to the Kurds, but at the same time, from a Turkish standpoint, now this is looking through a Turk's eyes, they see the Kurds as terrorists, that apparently the Kurds on a periodic basis engage in terrorist activities on Turkey's southern border. So that is a big concern of the Turks, and that prompted to a large degree their invasion of Syria. They want to protect their own people. Now, in fairness to the Kurds, they came out on the losing side of what the British did a century ago when they divvied up the Middle East into arbitrary countries. And the Kurds just got split every which way among Iraq, Syria, and Turkey instead of having their own boundaries in their own country. So you can understand where they're coming from, too. It's just a mess over there. You know, I'd much prefer that we dramatically reduce our presence. The only strong ally we have is Israel. That's the only one we can rely on. That's the only one that has values similar to ours in America. And I would expand my statement to not just the Middle East, but to also Afghanistan, with the revelations that are continuing to pop up about our chances of prevailing long term if the goal is to establish a stable Afghan government while suppressing the ability of the Taliban to operate. That's just not going to happen.
In Iran, it seems the instability is getting worse, that they're killing their own citizens. We may be moving a carrier battle group into the Persian Gulf to replace one that just left there. How concerned, as a defense posture, are you about Iran, and particularly if Iran starts kind of going under, falling apart?
Well, I have two levels of concern. One is relatively minor and the other one is great. The great concern is that Iran has made very aggressive public statements about their willingness to sacrifice themselves if they can take out the little Satan, Israel, and the big Satan, the United States, in the process. And if Iran gets nuclear weapons with the missile capability of delivering them to American soil, my concern is that they'll actually do it out of their religious fervor. Of course, they're also a Muslim country. But they seem to believe that it is worth the loss of life, worth the destruction of Iran, if they can take out Israel and the United States in the process. And that's a very dangerous concept. It's not one that we've faced before. With every other nation that's had nuclear weapons that was a geopolitical foe, there was always the mutually assured destruction doctrine where, you know, that would act as a deterrence. If you attack us, we're going to attack you and we both die, so why do it? Mm-hmm. And that's worked for over half a century. Iran's much different. Now, my lesser concern about Iran has to do with the Persian Gulf. Yes, they're creating problems in the Persian Gulf. They've blown holes in any number of tankers. They have shot down a very expensive American unmanned aerial vehicle. But I'm not sure we have a security interest in the Persian Gulf anymore. We did when we were heavily dependent on that oil supply. But now we are a net oil exporter. And to me, all those countries that need that Persian Gulf oil, they should be taking over the burden that the United States has shouldered for so many decades. They should be the ones protecting those shipping lanes for the oil that they consume, that we no longer need to consume. So I'd like to see us reduce our presence in the Persian Gulf, because I do not believe that our national security interest is anything like it was in the 70s or 80s when our presence became very substantial.
Someone sent me a text to ask you this question. When do you think the USMCA will be voted on? When do you think it will be in the hopper?
Isn't that the wild card? Whatever Nancy Pelosi decides. And I don't know when that's going to be.
Interesting. And you think that the vote may happen on impeachment by next week?
Yes. The Democrat game plan from the very beginning has always been to have this vote before Christmas. And so you've got basically this week and next week, and that's it. And so I anticipate that it will be next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. But again, that's controlled by Nancy Pelosi and her allies, and I have no way of knowing for sure what they're going to ultimately decide. They do have friction in their conference.
We have three members of the squad that are being investigated for various reasons, everything from political to possible tax evasion. AOC has been taking money from campaign, using it inappropriately. Tlaib has taken money and used it for personal use out of a campaign. Do you think anything's going to happen with any of those?
I hope that it is properly investigated, and if charges are warranted, that charges are issued. We just had a Republican in San Diego, Duncan Hunter.
Yeah.
Who misappropriated campaign funds for personal use, and he was convicted and he's leaving Congress.
Right.
I believe in equal protection of the laws, which is equal justice for all. And if you're going to do it to a Republican congressman in San Diego, then Justice Department, you need to treat other congressmen similarly. And they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, just like Duncan Hunter was. Unfortunately, history suggests that Republican office holders tend to be held to a higher standard, tend to be arrested or indicted more readily, while Democrats, for whatever reason, seem to be more likely to get a pass when they violate criminal statutes. I hope that is not the case here. If, in fact, there are Democrat congressmen who have criminally violated, our Federal Election Commission laws, through the diversion of campaign resources to personal use, which is prohibited by law.
Congressman, I appreciate you calling in today. You've been so generous with your time, and my audience loves to hear from you. You give them some great inside perspective of what's going on in the swamp.
Happy to, Dan. Just any time you call, I try to make myself available.
I really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Mo Brooks, North Alabama, great friend of this show, going to be back right after this.
Cherry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
'Tis the season, everybody, and it's big Christmas doings with the Health and Wealth Show. Saturday, December 21st, that's the Saturday before Christmas, we're having our big Christmas blowout. It's going to be from 3 in the afternoon until 6. It's absolutely free, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Just load up all your Christmas merrymakers and come to 2754 Bell Road. You'll find us there at Affordable Events. I hear Santa Claus is going to be there. Young Elvis, we're going to be taping for a new episode of the Health and Wealth TV show, and there's no telling what else might happen. And did I mention that it's absolutely free? For more information, just listen to the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest, weekday evenings from 6 until 7 on News Talk 93.1. And mark your calendars for Saturday, December the 21st from 3 in the afternoon until 6 for the Health and Wealth Christmas Blowout, sponsored in part by Ernest Financial, LLC.
Hi, this is Tom Latham with Penny Earn and Concrete Technologies. If you own a business, you know how important it is to get in front of your customer. Radio has proved to be the best medium for us. For many years, the stations at Blue Water Broadcasting have served us well. For success for your business, call the folks at Blue Water today.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. Since 1963, Bernie has been the Montgomery-grown document technology leader in the River Region. During our 55 years, we have seen a lot of copier companies come and go. That's why we do more than just offer our clients copiers. We offer a diverse portfolio, including document capture and storage, digitizing your paper-based processes, and software to manage costs. Call me on my cell at 201-0199 and ask me about our managed print program where we can cut your printing costs in half. 201-0199.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Abuse of power and obstruction of Congress are the two articles of impeachment House Democrats will introduce against President Trump. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
On this solemn day, I recall that the first order of business for members of Congress is the solemn act to take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Louisiana Republican Steve Scalise.
Today, unfortunately, she bowed down to the most radical elements of her base instead of standing up to them and saying that she was going to work for the American people.
A White House spokeswoman says if impeached, the president expects to be fully exonerated in a Senate trial. Speaker Pelosi also announcing today an agreement with the White House on modifications to a new trade deal with Canada and Mexico to replace the North American Free Trade Agreement. The revised USMCA needs approval from Congress and Canada's parliament. Mexico's Senate's already on board. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Our temperatures are on the decline now. We had our warmest part of the day this morning, and now temperatures will be falling into the 50s during the afternoon. The winds pick up and become quite gusty today. Risk of showers anytime on and off today and tonight. And maybe first thing in the morning before they finally come to an end. Tonight's low down to about 41. Tomorrow's high only in the middle 50s. We should fall to about 39 late tomorrow night. And another round of rain coming in Thursday night into Friday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 3.5% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Sam with Blue Water Broadcasting Sales. And you know what? I hope this is going to be the merriest and the happiest new year you've ever had. Please be careful and remember the reason of the season. From all of us right here at Blue Water Broadcasting.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I want to thank Congressman Mo Brooks for calling in today. Great guy, great friend of the show, by the way. Did we combine the 10 minutes till into the break? Okay.
Yeah, we're to the top now.
Okay, as promised, I want to let you guys hear how the whole thing was played out on NBC Nightly News. This is the opener, and then they're going to be talking about impeachment. So let's listen in.
Breaking news tonight, the deadly disaster still unfolding as we come on the air. The massive volcano eruption on a popular New Zealand tourist attraction. Closing arguments in the impeachment showdown, both sides making their final cases. The fireworks in the room as House Democrats draw closer to a vote. The highly anticipated watchdog report revealed what it found. The FBI investigation into the Trump campaign and Russia was justified and not politically motivated. But the FBI faulted for serious errors. The reaction from President Trump as both sides seize on it as new ammunition.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Let's stop there. Did you notice what was missing in that opener? They talked about impeachment. They talked about the IG report. They did not mention Durham and what he said.
Right.
That was not in there. But if you go back to the NBC Nightly News that we played earlier last week, I think it was, they put a big emphasis in there on something that was harmful to Trump. So something good for Trump they leave out, something harmful to Trump they put back in. Let's listen to Hallie Jackson now.
In Washington, the bitter divide over impeachment was bitter on full divide. Display as we near an expected House vote before the end of the year. Hallie Jackson has details.
Closing arguments tonight as Democrats close in on a vote to impeach the president, looking to put the public on their side.
The evidence shows that Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States, has put himself before his country.
Democratic staff attorneys on the Judiciary Committee recapping their findings from weeks of public hearings, arguing the president abused his power, betrayed the national interest, and tried to corrupt the 2020 election by freezing military aid to Ukraine while asking for an investigation into his political rivals.
When we talk about the ABCs of potential presidential abuses, it is extraordinary that the president's conduct was a trifecta, checking all three boxes.
President Trump's persistent and continuing effort to coerce a foreign country to help him cheat to win an election is a clear and present danger.
Republicans furious and showing it.
People giving gentlemen will suspend.
Bang it harder. It still doesn't make the point that you're not doing it right.
The president's allies are angry with a process they call rushed and unfair, reiterating, in their view, he did nothing wrong.
To impeach a president who 63 million people voted for over eight lines in a call transcript is baloney.
The GOP also pointing out the military aid money to Ukraine was eventually released without a commitment to investigate the Bidens, like the president wanted, although that happened after the aid freeze became a public controversy.
The inquiry has returned no direct evidence that President Trump withheld a meeting or security assistance in order to pressure President Zelensky.
Nobody understands really what the majority is trying to do, except that interfere and basically make sure that they believe the president can't win next year if he's impeached.
President Trump today.
It's a disgrace to our country. It's a hoax, and it should never, ever be allowed to happen again.
The House could vote on impeachment in the next 2 weeks. And against that backdrop, NBC News has learned the president is set to sit down with a key Russian official tomorrow, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Lester?
Notice I had to kind of throw that in, the Russian connection. By the way, the guy that when he was banging on the gavel, the guy that had was when they did the opening statements with the two attorneys, he does his testimony. He does his opening statement.
Right.
And then he gets up and he walks around and he goes and sits next to Nadler. This is a guy that just made a statement.
This is Gold.
Now,
Berkey?
Burke.
Yeah.
And then he goes back and starts asking the Republican counsel questions and rips him a new one. And then when you heard him gavel, when Collins and company were kind of getting out of hand, he was in there telling him, he said, it's like he pointed at the gavel, like, gavel, hit your gavel. He was manipulating him. Jerry, wow. I'm telling you, I looked at the footage. I was going like, that's incredible. So that was the opener minus some of the stories. And then the when the lead story, but the second lead, which was impeachment. We're going to get into the story of the how these numbers are working out. I alluded to them yesterday in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. I mentioned Arizona. Arizona's not mentioned in this story, but they are falling out of bed.
Yeah, and this is a little in the weeds, but I remember it being mentioned in all these hearings that it was statutorily required the administration, whatever their concerns, had to release the aid by September the 30th.
Right. So they were within a couple of weeks of doing it within the time frame.
Right, so what? Like, if it had to be released by the end of September, what the hell is their argument?
Well, and if they don't know anything about it, they didn't do anything. They said, I mean, when you listen to these guys talk yesterday, you know, you held back vital, you know, the saving lives type thing.
You betrayed the national interest for your personal interest.
And you didn't, they didn't even know it.
Right, and also, I don't think asking a country to look into corruption is categorically in somebody's political interest.
Yeah, but you saw what Barr was saying when he was asking about Rudy Giuliani. This thing's coming home to roost.
Yes,
I can feel it. We were just watching Barr on CNN.
We got to find that video.
That was good stuff. Okay, now we're going to get into Pete Williams talking about the IG report. And FISA. Now, notice how at the very end, he's going to kind of go in like, well, those problems that they were talking about, the FBI director said they're going to fix. So there's no problem with it.
Meantime, the Russia investigation came roaring back today with the lingering question of whether the FBI was politically motivated to launch its investigation of the 2016 Trump campaign. Tonight, an answer. The Justice Department's Inspector General saying that while the FBI made mistakes, it had good reason to open that investigation.
No, they
Here's
did
Pete
not.
Pete Williams.
Did not say
in
that.
Highly anticipated
report, did not say
two
that.
Years in the making, the Inspector General found that when the FBI secretly opened an investigation into possible Russian influence of the Trump campaign in July 2016, it followed the rules about launching that kind of case. The report said it found no evidence of political bias and said the FBI had a legitimate purpose in looking at whether there was a threat to national security. But it was harshly critical of the FBI's court application for permission to conduct surveillance on Carter Page, a former Trump campaign advisor, saying there were serious management failures. The FBI relied heavily on an unverified anti-Trump dossier assembled by Christopher Steele, a former British spy hired by an outside group to conduct research on Trump and Russia. The report says the FBI's court application made statements about Steele that were, quote, inaccurate, incomplete, and unsupported, overselling his value as a source and glossing over the fact that many claims he made were not checking out. The Inspector General reached no conclusions about the FBI's motive behind these repeated failures, but said it got no satisfactory explanation about how all these mistakes happened. James Comey, who was in charge of the FBI at the time, says the report is largely a vindication.
There was no treason, there was no conspiracy, there was no tapping of Trump's wires, there was no putting informants in the campaign. It was all nonsense.
But President Trump said today the report backs up his claim that the FBI was out to get him.
This was an overthrow of government. This was an attempted overthrow. And a lot of people were in on it. And they got caught. They got caught red-handed.
Trump's Attorney General William Barr did not go nearly that far, but in a written statement, he said the report makes clear that the FBI launched an intrusive investigation of a U.S. presidential campaign on the thinnest of suspicions, which did not justify the steps the FBI took. Months ago, Barr appointed a U.S. attorney in Connecticut, John Durham, to conduct a separate review. And in a highly unusual statement today, given that his investigation isn't done, Durham echoes the attorney general, saying he does not agree with the inspector general about how the FBI's investigation was opened in the first place.
The inspector general says tonight he's ordering a new investigation into how the FBI applies for these secret surveillance warrants. And the FBI director says he has already ordered changes in how that process works.
So it's all okay now.
Bull crap.
That was an interesting way to kind of patch that thing through. And you would have to have something that said in writing that those scuzzy Trump supporter people, we're going to get them. That right. would have been political bias. But if they didn't have that, then there was no sign of political bias. didn't say that there couldn't have been some. There's no sign of it. There's no evidence of it. And evidence means it actually had to be there, something they could pick up and hold.
Yeah, I think the official language they used, I found no testimonial or documentary evidence. So nobody told me when I asked them about it.
Yeah.
And I didn't find any documents to prove it.
Hey, Joey, are you biased?
No.
Okay, see? And that's as far as
I'm
you can
go. I'm a professional, Dan.
And I told you yesterday when I was reading the thing, they said they would ask questions. They go, oh, we didn't do that.
No.
Oh, okay. If you say so. I mean, it's like, hey, Al Capone, did you do that? No.
No.
Oh.
And I paid my taxes. I'm a good American.
I kill a few people.
I create jobs.
I kill a few people, but I make jobs and keep people very, very happy. This is amazing.
No, the more you read into it, it is damning.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to get into the, you know, Strassel tears them up, and so does Ian Pryor, just tears them up here. And in reading some of it, this guy was basically this kind of lukewarm, but some of the stuff he put in there was damning as it could be. I think Durham's going to drop the hammer down on him. Guess who I found in the news cycle? Catherine Herridge.
Oh yeah,
she appeared back.
Yeah, and they're letting her play.
They're gonna let her. They're gonna give her a report. We're gonna do it after our top of the hour. So you guys, hang on for that. Catherine Herridge is back now. I want you to be judge. Is she kind of tempering herself a little bit when we get back and play her cuts? It wasn't presented the same way that you would have heard it on Fox. It was kind of like Catherine Herridge, and then she kind of does her deal, but she does this kind of two sides of the coin type thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Got to do equal time. News on 93.1. Dan Moore Show. We're going to be back after our top of the hour break.
Dan Morris Show.